Congregation, the word for this evening service is from John 13, verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. All that Lord Jesus Christ was doing unto his disciples was out of love. He had led them all those years, and they had followed him. And now they were called to follow him in a way where they didn't understand. The way was going to Jerusalem, to his suffering, to the cross. But before he was going to the Father and he would leave his own behind in the world, he would teach them something that showed him his love to them unto the end. All that he does to his own is out of love. Though Peter and the 11 other disciples didn't understand much of it, how much misunderstood was Christ's love, and how much even unto this day is the Lord Jesus Christ distrusted in his dealings, in the way that he holds with his own, how he leads them in his providence, how he leads them in the ways of grace, misunderstood, distrusted. But yet it is Christ in his love and faithfulness that leads them on and teaches them. Christ has loved his own to the end. They were all at the supper with their dirty feet. None of them had done the work of a servant. None of them had the humility to bow before the others. And this is the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ rises from the supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. The moment when he humbled himself so much to do the work of a slave, and the 11 Galilean fishermen, they wondered what is the master doing. Why laying down his garment? Why taking the lowest place? This was a Christ, this was something that they didn't understand of Christ. This was some dealing of Christ that they could not understand. And that's why in Peter's heart, opposition arises, his carnal thoughts. And yet we will see tonight how his speaking against it, in his honesty, is used by the Lord to instruct him more. None of the disciples understood what was going on. None of them understood, though they could have known what Christ was doing. He had told them so often that he would have to suffer and die. But they all had their own conceptions, their own thoughts about what it would be and how he would bring his kingdom, how the way following Christ would be a way of glory. And they all had their own dreams of how he would relieve Israel from the Romans and bring in his kingdom with earthly power and glory. And now things went so different. And so unexpected. And that is where the Lord Jesus Christ reveals unto them, teaches unto them something about himself and about his salvation that they had not yet understood. And such encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ, where Christ in his glory, in his grace, surprises them and teaches them something new, that is what is needed for sinners. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ where, and it is here that it is said he loved his own to the end, but he also starts to love sinners, or to reveal his love towards sinners, where he calls sinners up until this day, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, where he calls you out of darkness, out of your sin and misery, where the love of Christ in his gospel is revealed to the heart, where his love makes the heart willing to believe on him, to surrender unto him, to follow him. And yet, like the disciples, there is so much in God's children of the carnal mind. So much like the disciples had their own thoughts of what it would be to follow Christ, so much wrong thoughts and misconceptions of what it will be to walk with the Lord, to follow him. And like the disciples, God's children often expect a way of glory, a way in which their light will increase and their holiness will increase, their prayers will be answered. And now the disciples will encounter more of Christ's glory, will see more, learn more of it. And how do we stand in need, those of you who know the Lord? How do we stand in need of those instructions, shaking the heart and revealing unto the heart its deceitfulness, its carnal thoughts, and yet in love, in redeeming love, in a willingness from the Lord Jesus Christ to show more of his one-sided love and his complete atonement. But we see here in this history how that both Peter and Judas and the other stumble at the Christ that they meet. His humility, his doing the work of a slave, they cannot understand it. And that he will suffer and that he will go to even unto death is totally what they had never expected. Likewise, there may be among us those who are led by the Lord in ways that go so in opposition of what you have thought. For when first the love of Christ is shed abroad in the heart, often there is the language like Peter, that enthusiasm like Peter, that love, burning love of Peter, and yet also that there was much of blindness to his own heart in it when he cries out in verse 37, "Lord, why cannot I not I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake." A willingness to surrender unto the Lord Jesus, a willingness to follow him wherever he goes, a willingness to follow in his ways. And yet, now that the way goes different than the disciples had thought, now that they meet, that they see that Christ will not be a glorified king yet, but first do the work of a servant, and will lead them in a way of serving, of being humbled, of suffering. Well, when God's children meet with it, that in their lives, that with times of hardships and trials, of suffering, of darkness, times when it seems that their prayers are not answered, that following the Lord Jesus comes at a price, times when it is made clear that the Lord goes ways against flesh and against our thoughts, then it is revealed what is in our hearts. Like it is here, and both Judas and Peter stumble at the Christ that they now meet. Both of them. For it says in the second verse that the devil had now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Now that suffering of Christ, the humbling of Christ, the approaching death of Christ came near, now that his work as a surety, as a high priest, as a suffering lamb became more clear, now it is that the enmity rises in Judas' heart. He was willing to follow leave behind a lot for Christ's sake when he thought that it would bring him gain and a position of honor to be an office bearer in Christ's kingdom, to be used by the Lord. He had his dreams. But now that it becomes clear that Christ's glory and being glorified is a promise, and that the present for the present, God's children will suffer, and that it will end, that the Lamb of God has come to suffer and to die. Now the enmity rises in his heart. The devil ignites his pride, his enmity, his hatred, even a hatred to this Jesus. So, likewise, there might be many talking about Jesus and following Christ, but the enmity against Christ as a complete surety, the enmity against the Lord Jesus, against his atoning work, against following him at all costs, that is deep in our hearts. That heart of a Judas, that heart of a Judas that comes in opposition when he could no longer understand the Lord Jesus, and the Lord's ways were not longer according to his thoughts. He had followed Christ as long as it went all like he had expected. But when the Lord had his sovereign way, Judas' heart came in opposition against it. But also Simon Peter didn't understand the suffering Savior and his serving work as a servant. And yet we see in this chapter how the difference is here that Peter lays his heart open honestly before the Lord. For also, both Judas and Peter's feet were washed. Judas silently underwent it. Judas had his feet washed by the Lord Jesus. But Simon honestly, or Peter honestly, lays open his heart, expresses his opposition to Christ. Wilt thou, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He brings his questions before the Lord, whereas Judas hides his true heart. Whereas Judas has followed the Lord until here, like being the most pious among all, and yet his heart was in enmity. What a heart-searching mirror the Lord places us before this night. When we see how people who profess to follow the Lord may have a heart of a Judas. People who had their dreams, their thoughts about what it meant to walk with the Lord, to follow Him, and to gain by it. And God's children will say that Judas that wants to understand Christ and wants only to accept a Christ that does it according to my thoughts. I find that Judas inside. I find that in my carnal heart. How in ways of darkness or disappointment and suffering, there is opposition against the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, against the way of His providence. But lay them open before the Lord, like Peter did. Become honest before the Lord, maybe even if you are here tonight in a struggle against the Lord and against the way of His providence, maybe not understanding why the Lord is doing things. Maybe not understanding why following Him comes at a cost. Simon Peter could not understand that the Savior that was to be king took the role of a servant and bowed at His feet. He didn't understand how much He needed that. So, whereas yet for sure he was a child of God, he had seen the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed, "Thou art the Son of God," yet there was so much misunderstanding in his heart. And how will God's children also tonight confess that on the way that the Lord leads you, you time and again need to be deeper discovered to the carnal heart and receive new and deeper revelations of whom the Lord Jesus is, deeper instruction in His way, because His way is against, so much against flesh and blood, so far above our understanding, and sometimes even so in opposition with all that is dear to you, that you're called to lose or to deny yourself. And Christ, when bowed at Peter's feet, He kindly explains to him. And He kindly uses the opposition in Peter's heart to teach him. How much do God's children need that? That the opposition in the heart, or unbelief, is brought before the Lord, and the Lord Christ, as a faithful Savior, kindly uses this to instruct Peter and to say him and to give him this humbling word: what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter, which is a promise. For Peter didn't understand, didn't know how much he needed Christ to wash his defiled feet. Because in it there is instruction that for God's children, especially, that whereas Peter thought that he was able to follow the Lord and that he was willing to follow the Lord wherever the Lord's way was, that he was willing to give up everything for Christ, yet he was blind to how much in his walk with the Lord, in his following the Lord, he loved himself. He had selfish by-ends. How much in all that seemed to be so spiritual, he sought himself and his own honor. So Christ Christ teaches him, now, Peter, now there comes a moment, now there comes a way in which you cannot follow me. Now there comes a way in which I have to go alone, because I have to walk away where no sinner can tread. I have to go in a way where your feet cannot go. You think you follow me. You think you seek the Lord's glory. You think, and there is true love for Christ in Peter's heart. There are clean desires with it. And yet, there is so much still of Peter in it. Thou understands not what I do now, but you shall know it hereafter, how much you need this. How much you need those feet that walk on this earth. Though the heart is cleansed, though the heart is renewed by grace, though the heart is filled by His love and grace, though my glory was revealed to your heart, yet in your walk on earth, yet in your everyday life, yet in your following me, there is so much that defiles you. Your feet are tarnished. You need to be cleansed. For yes, you're clean. You're washed in my blood, says the Lord Jesus Christ. You're washed and therefore need not to be cleansed but the feet. So Jesus instructs him here, and he will understand it later, but he instructs him here in how the forgiveness of sin is a once and for all washing, cleansing of the heart. Once and for all, the sins forgiven and the perfect justice of Christ imputed. When a sinner is united to Christ by faith, all his benefits, his complete righteousness is given, the heart washed and peace with God received. And yet, in his walkings on earth, when his feet seek to follow after the Lord, there is so much of carnal self that defiles the heart. And that's why the Lord says unto Peter in the 10th verse, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For Judas had his feet washed by the Lord Jesus Christ, but his heart was never cleansed. He never was united to Christ by faith. He never had lost himself to him and truly surrendered to him believingly. But Christ, or Peter, whose heart was cleansed, also needed that renewed forgiveness. And how much do God's children stand in need of renewal of his forgiveness, the renewed application of that free and sovereign and forgiveness of him and the power of his blood. What I do, you know not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. How much do they stand in need again to receive Christ and his dying love? How much does Peter need to realize and to deeper learn that Christ has to serve him, that Christ has to go before him and even go on a way towards death and in his suffering where Peter cannot even follow him, that it is all of Christ? That following the Lord and walking in his ways is not by his own strength and by his own willingness, but that the heart is only made willing to follow the Lord by his dying love, by his free grace that breaks the heart and that makes the heart willing to follow him out of his love, because we love him, because he has first loved us. And those lessons is what Peter needs so dearly, because he may be a disciple, even an apostle. And how honest is God's word about how carnal also God's children can be, how full of darkness and misunderstanding, and how also in the ways that the Lord goes, there is so much opposition against it. There can be also in the life of God's children here so much struggling with the Lord, so much distrust. What are you doing now? What is your way now? And like Peter said to the Lord, no, you will not wash my feet. Whereas Christ meant to serve him and meant to do well to him. Likewise, God's children may face things that their heart comes in opposition, and they say, no, Lord, do not take that away from me. Do not ask that sacrifice from me. Do not lead me in this way. Because our hearts seek for glory and for a Christ that leads in ways of ease and ways of peace and joy, which he does. But the peace that he gives is always the peace in his blood. And the joy that he gives is always a joy in losing ourselves unto him. And that is how Peter needs to be taught by the Lord. Your feet need to be washed. You need again to be cleansed and forgiven. You again need to be made willing to forsake the world, to deny yourself, and to truly follow me. Even though you don't understand it, even though you don't understand it yet, Christ went on to wash Peter's feet. But you might ask tonight, what is then the difference between Peter and Judas? If in both their hearts there was this carnal opposition against a suffering Savior and following a suffering Savior, opposition in our hearts against a Christ that crucifies the self. If I find that in my heart, and if you receive light from the Lord and honesty, you will acknowledge. What is the difference then between Peter and Judas? Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord, whose heart will rather choose the world and choose my own will instead of obeying and following thee? When thou asks sacrifices that I'm not willing to bring, is it me, Lord, that will deny thee? Well, this is the difference that is made clear in verse 8, where Jesus answers to Peter, "If I wash thee not, Peter, thou hast no part with me." And then Peter said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So when Christ makes clear, Peter, if you cannot surrender to me in this way, if you cannot let me rule in this way, you have no part with me, you have no fellowship with me, there is no communion with me, then you go your own way and you depart from me. That's where in Peter's heart, though his heart is also carnal and misunderstanding Christ's way now, yet his faith and love speak up. No part with Christ, no fellowship with him, losing him, departing from him. No, Lord. That is the voice, that is the testimony given in the heart of those who truly fear the Lord. That is what makes the difference clear between a Judas and a Peter. For all of us, our flesh is in opposition when the Lord goes again, leads in ways against our will and our thoughts. But this is the difference. Those who know the Lord's fellowship will cry out, "No, Lord, take anything from me, but not thy peace and thy fellowship. No, Lord, to have no part with thee is the worst thing. To have no part with thee, whatever I have to suffer then, wherever I have to follow thee, in whatever humbling lessons thou hast to lead me, wherever thou hast to still to discover to me my carnal heart, however deeper, much deeper I have to bow, but to have no part with thee, that would be the worst. Wash me then, O Lord, completely. Take then anything from me that hinders that fellowship with thee. For thine peace, I've tasted with thee a peace, I've received from thee a peace that the world knoweth not of. I've received from thee a joy that passeth all understanding. I have received from thee blessings and grace that no man could have thought of, and no ear has heard, no eye has seen. But in thee I have found life amid my own death. So thy fellowship, O Lord, to be near unto thee, even in ways that I don't understand, is better than life itself. To be near unto thee, to be thought by thee, to surrender unto thee, to be thought by thee in ways that I don't understand. That's my heart's desire. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I wish to be yours completely, is what his heart testifies. And lay your heart open before the Lord tonight. To be honest before him who knows your heart, whether this fellowship of his is given to you, and you have found peace through his blood. And whether that fellowship of his, the communion with him in faith, is what counts you more than anything of the world. That it's also the cry of the heart, "Lord, whatever it takes, I wish to be thine completely. Not my feet only, but my hands and my head." And that is where Peter's heart again surrenders to the Lord. Though soon his feet will wander away again from the Lord. Though indeed it will be made clear unto him that his feet choose the ways of death. Though indeed he will, out of fear of man, deny his beloved master. Though indeed he will be led by his own feet in ways that make him depart from Christ and choose even to deny his master and to misuse God's name in that. But as his feet, His feet are defiled again after being washed. When his path leads again in self-love and in carnal ways, there he, deeper than ever, is taught by Christ how Christ's feet have found him and have followed him. How Christ's feet have stood on the place where Peter ought to stand, where how Christ was put in the place of the guilty and of the death-deserving sinner. How substitution, how Christ taking his place as a sinner is the only way in which, or the only strength by which Peter can follow the Lord. Only that dying love of his, only those eyes that beheld him, that one look of the Lord Jesus Christ that broke again his heart, that broke again all his carnal self-love, that made him despise or loathe himself. That look of the Lord Jesus, when indeed these feet of him had chosen the ways of death. But there he understood, he was taught, what he did not understand at that moment, how much he needed in the ways in which he followed the Lord. Even in ministry, even in the work of an apostle, even in walking with the Lord as his child of God, how much of self is intertwined with it, and how much we stand in need of the cleansing of Christ's blood, and how often we distrust the ways that Christ goes and the ways of his providence, how often we, like Peter, stumble. God's children, like Peter, stumble at ways that we cannot understand. Guilt and darkness. But this is the great difference. This is where Peter's heart, where the grace of God that was wrought in Peter speaks out, where he once has that desire to be Christ completely, his own. And yet, when his feet had so far departed from his Lord, and it was showed unto him that indeed his love of Christ falls short, there he was taught how much he needed the Lord and his service, how much he needed a Savior that would bow at his feet. So yes, when we are from our place, when we are high-minded and pride and unbelieving, we may wrestle with the disappointments in life, wrestle with the hardships, wrestle and be in opposition and not understand why the Lord leads in ways that we cannot understand. But when Peter was brought on his right place, when the look of Christ's eyes broke his heart, then he didn't marvel at the hardships, but then he did marvel at the blessings, at the grace. And that is where a sinner is, or where as a believer is brought again on his place, there is no... And no misunderstanding or wondering about the hardships, for all of it is deserved. His chastening rod is fatherly love. But that he blesses me, that he forgives me, that Christ still looked at him who himself was the greatest sinner, that is marvelous. That is what cannot be understood. That is what broke Peter's heart. Christ's face, the eyes that beheld him again gave surrender. And that is what also here, when Christ said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." That is how Christ looks at Peter. And that is how the Lord Jesus looks at those whom he leads in humbling ways, or in ways that go against you. How Christ says, "Trust me that the way is good. Surrender to me that my intention is all of love, even if you don't understand it. Trust me that this is the way that is best for you, that you need most. Trust me for it, to be your guide. Trust me to follow me, even if the way seems dark. Trust me to explain it at my time." So be willing to follow with closed eyes, to follow my voice. Be willing to wait for the Lord's time, for him to explain, to make clear why it is necessary to follow him in that way that may be so humiliating, or that things that are so dear to you are taken from you. That is the lessons, that is the encounters with Christ that God's children need so much. The deeper humbling of the heart. But where Christ is becomes more dear, where his wisdom is more prized and adored, where his guidance, or where you give yourself to his guidance, where new aspects of Christ's glory are seen, and where the bond of faith is deepened, because the child of God there again in that fellowship knows, whatever in the world, nothing is so precious unto me than God's face and the Lord Jesus Christ. That then, being in fellowship with him, that is the lessons, that is the tones of the heart of Peter. That is how the Lord shows us here in this mirror, where both Peter and Judas stumble at Christ's ways, for you and me to search our hearts, whether or not you know Christ like this, and whether or not in the life of those who profess to know him, how long is it ago that you have encountered a living Christ, that in the ways that he led you, you were brought low at his feet, even when he leads in ways that you don't understand, that you were brought again to confess your darkness, your distrust of him, brought low at his feet, again to marvel at his grace, again to wonder how it can be that he still washes those feet, again to follow him. That he is not done with his own, that his love is an everlasting love. But if tonight you have to say and have to be honest before the Lord, that fellowship with Christ, those lessons, that walking with the Lord, even that desire to walk with him, to follow him, to be his own, it is not with me. I find the heart of a Judas within me. If you have honestly had to acknowledge before the Lord, "I only find in me that darkness, that unbelief, that misunderstanding, that opposition against Christ. Yea, even the hatred in the heart." Well, when a crucified Savior, when a suffering Savior is preached unto you as the deepest need of your heart, as the only answer of heaven to our deep misery and guilt. Oh, what enmity rises in the heart of man. What hatred to be saved by grace alone and by faith alone and through His work alone. Well, also to Judas, and though this history is more full of instruction for God's children, yet also for Judas there is instruction in it. For somehow this word, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know it hereafter," it also applies to those who only have the heart of a Judas, who never were broken by Christ's love and united to Him in faith, whose own self never ended to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. It also applies to you who until this day have rejected the words of Christ's grace. "What I do thou knowest not now. How kindly I call you to follow me. How kindly I offer myself in through the word, through the gospel being preached throughout the earth. Christ offers Himself to sinners. Christ's work and person is being preached, being revealed by the Lord. And yet Judas was so blind to whom he was that was bowing at His feet. Yet Judas was so full of misunderstanding of how willing Christ was and how necessary His death was to save him. How much he needed a Savior to pay with his life and not only to give him temporal blessings. "What I do thou knowest not now." That applies to you tonight who have the heart of a Judas. You don't realize how much Christ is a Savior willing to save you out of sin. How much you stand in need of Him. And how He may, in the ways of providence, in how He leads your life, also be knocking at your door. Or how He may by things that in His providence come in your life, how He may speak to your conscience, how much you stand in need of atoning blood, how much it is necessary that you be reconciled to God before a never-ending eternity comes. "What I do thou knowest not now." But the feet of Judas were washed by Christ. The feet of Judas were washed. The Savior, the Son of God, bowed at His feet. That is how much Christ showed. How much He was willing also to serve this enemy of His. That is how Christ also offers Himself. Through the preaching of His gospel, crying out to the hearts of enemies of Him, "Be ye reconciled to God," how Christ is at His feet, ready to serve, to wash the heart of sinners from the guilt and the power of sin. And yet, how blind was Judas for this serving love of Christ, because his purpose was worldly gain. His heart was in enmity against Christ. And maybe there are those among us in whose life and the ways of God's providence you are in rebellion, you misunderstand what the Lord does. Oh, if you only saw whom He is, that is at your feet, whom he is that is willing to be a savior to the uttermost. For we can never understand and be at peace and surrender to the ways of God's providence unless we know him and we believe on him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him only can you meet with a sovereign God as a reconciled God and Father. Only in and through him can you know the Lord's kind and faithful dealings with his children. So Judah's heart was full of rebellion here, full of the love of self. And maybe there are those who love themselves so much, or who pity themselves so much, because the Lord and because you have to gone through so many hardships. But Christ has been crying unto your heart in those ways. Look unto me and return unto me. And yet it applies, what I do thou knowest not, thou know shall know hereafter. And let us realize that Judas also was brought to know hereafter, how he was also made to realize what Christ had done to him, that Christ had washed his feet, but he had no benefit by it because of his unbelief. He was made to realize, even before Peter realized, Judas was thought in eternity, was realized in eternity too late, what a Savior had been at his feet, and that the way in which he was called to follow the Lord was the way of divine love that he had rejected out of self-love. So if you're here tonight, maybe with the hardest heart, unwilling and unbowing, you will, but oh, my friend, let it not be too late, that you will realize what a Christ and what a salvation is offered, and how kindly Christ calls you to leave sin and follow him. How Christ calls indeed to, in ways in which yourself will die and he will be king. Yes, Judas has realized it as well. And if you're here tonight, and maybe in desperate cry out, I have a heart like Judas, in despair, think how can there be a grace for a man or a woman or a young person so defiled as I am? And maybe in despair cry out, how could it ever be? And that my heart, that in there indeed is so in enmity with God, and so deaf for his words, and so hard against him, and so embracing and clinging to sin. How can it be that a heart like mine be changed by grace? Well, even Judas, even this man in whose heart was such enmity against Christ, was called by Christ when he came to betray him, friend, what dost thou here? Friend. So the greatest enemy addressed by Christ as a friend, a last attempt of the love of the Savior, a last arrow at Judah's heart. And this shows, this how Christ calls him a friend shows how Christ is willing and able to make to his friends those who have a heart like Judas, full of opposition. Oh, that his love, the love of God revealed in Christ, would break the heart, the enmity, and the unbelief. And if you then realize, if you realize then how much you stand in need of his forgiveness, of his cleansing, oh, that you would cry out with Peter, not only my feet, but my hands and my heart, my entire defiled and sinful being stands in need of your righteousness. Is it true, Lord? Is it true, Lord, that you call enemies friend? And that even Judas could have been saved by that word of thine love? It is true. It is far beyond comprehension, and it cannot be explained, but yet it can be adored, and it can be worshipped. And it is why Christ has the word of reconciliation preached unto us. Why Christ wants to learn his own, and wants to learn his own, to surrender unto him, and to surrender for and to wait for him, to trust him, that he in his time will give teaching and instruction in the ways that are so much misunderstood, and that indeed hereafter he will show how much it was all of love, and all of God's children will be able to say yes, and will have learned by, will have been taught by the Lord, yes, it is true that his humbling me, his bringing me low, is showing me my sin, is showing me the fear of hell, is showing me the justice of God. It was all of love. At that time, I could see nothing but a God of righteousness and a God who is against me. But he has loved me to the end. He has loved me until I would surrender and believe on the Son of God. It was all of love. But then also learn, child of God, maybe in struggle and darkness, to rely on him, that hereafter, on his time, you will understand the ways that he leads in. That on his time, indeed, you will be given to see what was his purpose of love. Oh, how adorable the Savior and the glorious King, when the heart may rest in this promise, when the heart may rest in fellowship with him in this promise, though I don't understand his ways, and though I have a heart in opposition with his divine ways, yet I trust him to teach me. Yet I trust him that once it will be revealed that he has done it all out of love, free and eternal love, undeserved and electing love, a love that made a Judas an enemy into a friend, and a love that keeps his own unto the end. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. We do acknowledge thee, O Lord, for thy faithfulness beyond comprehension, for thy long suffering with thine own in all their carnal opposition against thee, their blindness to their own, to the plague of their own hearts, their high-minded thoughts of their willingness to follow and yet so carnal. Oh, what a Savior thou art, that thou loves disciples like that, that thou callest disciples like that, and that thou, O Lord Jesus Christ, are not ashamed to mention the name of sinners from Grand Rapids before the name of thy Father, that thou art not ashamed, O blessed surety, to mention the names of those stubborn and carnal disciples, because thou hast cleansed and thou hast given a complete atonement and free forgiveness. Do thank thee, O Lord, for this gospel, and that even a Judas may be called by thee to be thy friend. We do acknowledge thee, O Lord, for what thou hast given in thy word. Forgive our shortcomings, and grant, O Lord, that with broken hearts of adoration for thy deep mercy, when thou grantest faith to know this Savior, this friend of sinner and friend of stubborn disciples, he is my Savior. O Lord, that we may also, like the disciples then, and like Peter then, surrender wholly unto thee, to be thine completely, O Lord, not only my feet, but have mine all. Peace which passeth all understanding, O Lord, when thou may rule in our lives, when thou art in control, and when we can trust thee to, in thy time, make all things clear, when thou will be adored and worshipped for all thy ways of love. Bless, O Lord, thine own word, for the glory of thy name, in Jesus' name, amen.